Psalm 69 verses 1 to 18. To the choir master, according to lilies, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal must I now restore. O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me, O Lord, God of hosts. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul, redeem me, ransom me because of my enemies. Psalm 69 is a messianic psalm, and it is also an imprecatory psalm. We have dealt with imprecatory psalms earlier, and we will look into that again when we come to those verses. After Psalm 22 and Psalm 110, this psalm, Psalm 69, is the most frequently quoted psalm in the New Testament. It is attributed to David. This psalm has definite affinities with Psalm 35, Psalm 40, and Psalm 109, which are also Davidic psalms. But what about verses 35 to 36? Psalm 69, verse 35 and 36. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servant shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Now, when during David's reign did the cities of Judah need to be rebuilt and the people brought back home? And when were the drunkards singing about David in the gates? Psalm 69 verse 12. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. What is the answer to these questions? Now we find that selected data from the psalm fits the times of both Jeremiah and Hezekiah. So it is difficult to fit everything in this psalm into the times of David. So perhaps David's original psalm ended at verse 29, and then the Holy Spirit directed the prophet Jeremiah to add verses 30 to 36 after the fall of Judah and Jerusalem was captured by the Babylonians, and the people of Israel went into exile. So perhaps the psalm ends written by David at verse 29, and after that, the prophet Jeremiah probably added verses 30 to 36. You see, the collection of psalms was a living heritage, and some of the psalms were adapted to new occasions. Now, whatever the answer to those questions may be, When you read this psalm, you find the author expressing three important concerns to the Lord. He has three important concerns and he addresses those concerns to the Lord. First is the concern for deliverance. There is the cry of deliverance. Save me, save me. Psalm 69 verses 1 to 18. And that's our text for study today. Then there is the cry of vindication. Judge my enemies. Psalm 69 verses 19 to 29. Judge my enemies. That's the imprecatory part of the psalm. Then there is the shout of praise. Be glorified, O Lord. Psalm 69 verses 30 to 36. In verses 1 to 5, the psalmist begins by asking for deliverance for his own sake, and then he describes his dangerous situation, comparing himself with a drowning man. He feels as though he is drowning because of the attack from the enemy. Psalm 69 verses 1 to 5. Save me, O God, for the flood waters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water and the floods overwhelm me. I am exhausted from crying for help and my throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me. Those who hate me without cause outnumber the hairs on my head. Many enemies try to destroy me with lies, demanding that I give back what I didn't steal. O God, you know how foolish I am. My sins cannot be hidden from you. Now there are similar cries like this in Psalm 18 verses 4 to 6. The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. Psalm 32 verse 6. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the flood waters of judgment. Psalm 42 verse 7. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. So you see, he is going through a situation in which he feels that he is drowning. He feels he is drowning. He feels he is sinking into quicksand. That's how he feels. Psalm 88 verse 7, we hear a similar cry. Your anger weighs me down. With wave after wave you have engulfed me. It's like water covering over and over again. Like a wave coming over and over again. And some of you probably are going through this kind of an experience. A kind of a problem that is coming over and over again. You feel like you're drowning. You feel as if one wave after the other is hitting you. So the psalmist seems to be crying out to God. He is crying out to God. And his cries to God show how desperate the situation is. First he cries, save me. Verse 1. Psalm 69 verse 1. Save me, O God, for the flood waters are up to my neck. Then he cries, deliver me. Verse 14. Psalm 69 verse 14. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Then he cries, hear me. In other words, answer me. Psalm 69 verses 16 to 17. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Then the cry, redeem me or rescue me. Psalm 69 verse 18. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Then we hear the cry, set me up on high. That means deliver me, protect me, raise me to higher ground. Psalm 69 verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. Now this is exactly what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He died for us and we died with him. And when he rose again from the dead, we rose again with him. When he ascended into heaven, we ascended with him. And he is exalted, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and you and I are seated with him in the heavenly places. It's a picture of salvation. Set me up on high. The psalmist had cried out to the Lord, but the Lord had not yet answered. And he says in verse 3, Psalm 69 verse 3, I am weary with my crying out, my throat is parched, my eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. So he desperately wanted an answer now. Psalm 69 verse 17, hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Make haste to answer me. Then he also says, he is not sinless. He acknowledges that he is not sinless. Psalm 69 verse 5, O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. But he was innocent of the charges that his enemies were making. And he was being treated as though he were guilty of those charges. You see, the enemy was accusing him, slandering him. You might also face such situations when people accuse you. People slander, say things which are wrong, lies about you. Psalm 69 verse 4. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. Those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? So you see, he's saying, I'm innocent of these charges. This reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He was sinless, yet he was treated like a transgressor. Isaiah 53 verse 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. You see that he was sinless. He was actually taking our sin upon his sinless body when he died on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 9. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. Isaiah 53 verse 12. All this is prophecy about Jesus, the death he died on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 12. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. We also read in Psalm 35 verses 11 to 19. Malicious witnesses testify against me. They accuse me of crimes I know nothing about. They repay me evil for good. I am sick with despair. Yet when they were ill, I grieved for them. When they were ill, I grieved for them. I denied myself by fasting for them, but my prayers returned unanswered. I was sad as though they were my friends or family, as if I were grieving for my own mother. But they are glad now that I am in trouble. They gleefully join together against me. I am attacked by people I don't even know. They slander me constantly. They mock me and call me names. They snarl at me. How long, O Lord, will you look on and do nothing? Rescue me from their fierce attacks. Protect my life from these lions. Then I will thank you in front of the great assembly. I will praise you before all the people. Don't let my treacherous enemies rejoice over my defeat. Don't let those who hate me without cause gloat over my sorrow. Psalm 38 verse 19. I have many aggressive enemies. They hate me without reason. Some of you might be feeling that way. Psalm 109 verse 3. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. Their weapon is their tongue. Psalm 119 verse 86. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. Psalm 119 verse 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. Now, Jesus quoted verse 4 of Psalm 69 in the upper room discourse in John chapter 15. Psalm 69 verse 4. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? What I did not steal, must I now restore? Now look at John 15 verse 25. Jesus quotes this verse. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. Now maybe you're going through a similar situation in your life. You're being accused, you're being slandered, you're probably being ill-treated for no reason at all. Or there may be a problem which is so, looming large. It is weighing over you. And it's like a flood drowning you. Remember that Jesus our Lord went through something far, far greater on the cross. So referring to verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 69, Amy Carmichael, a great missionary in Donavur Fellowship, who started the Donavur Fellowship, Amy Carmichael says, our waters are shallow because his were deep. Our waters are shallow because his were deep. So you might think that this is too overwhelming. But remember, your water is actually shallow. Because what he went through was far, far deeper and greater. And he went through that so that you and I could be delivered. So that you and I could be lifted up out of all that we are going through and experience his deliverance. Now the second reason the psalmist was praying for deliverance was for the Lord's sake. Psalm 69 verses 6 to 12. Don't let those who trust in you be ashamed because of me, O sovereign Lord of heaven's armies. Don't let me cause them to be humiliated, O God of Israel. For I endure insults for your sake. Humiliation is written all over my face. Even my own brothers pretend they don't know me. They treat me like a stranger. Passion for your house has consumed me. And the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I weep and fast, they scoff at me. When I dress in burlap to show sorrow, they make fun of me. I am the favorite topic of town gossip and all the drunks sing about me. Because those who lied about David were blaspheming the name of the Lord, David wanted God to manifest his power in deliverance. David did not want God's people to suffer shame because of him. Psalm 69 verse 6. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. O Lord God of hosts, let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. Psalm 25 verse 3. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Psalm 38 verses 15 and 16. But for you, O Lord, do I wait. It is you, O Lord, my God, who will answer. For I said, only let them not rejoice over me who boast against me when my foot slips. Now this word reproach, meaning scorn or insults, this word reproach is used six times in this psalm. Verse 7, verse 9, 10, 19, 20. I read to you. Psalm 69, verse 7. Because for your sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. Then verse 9. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. And verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. Verse 19. You know my reproach, my shame and my dishonor, my adversaries are all before you. Verse 20. Reproach has broken my heart and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. You see, the psalmist was scorned because he stood up for the Lord. He was reproached. He was insulted because he stood up for the Lord. And because he was zealous for God's house, Verse 7 and verse 9, again I read to you, because for your sake I have borne reproach. And then verse 9, he's zealous for God's house, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. So because he stood up for the Lord, and because he was zealous for God's house, because he was involved in God's work, he was conned. He was abused. He was insulted. He was facing reproach. The Apostle Paul quotes verse 9 of Psalm 69 in Romans chapter 15 verse 3, and he applies it to Christ. Romans chapter 15 verse 3. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Paul is quoting Psalm 69 verse 9, applying it to Jesus. The psalmist was also alienated in his own family. Psalm 69 verse 8. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. You see, when you are the only person who knows the Lord in your family, this is what happens. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Now we see this happening in the life of the Lord Jesus. John 7 verse 5. For not even his brothers believed in him. In Mark chapter 3 verses 31 to 35. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother, he is my brother and sister and mother. The insults that people threw at the Lord also fell on the psalmist. Psalm 69 verse 9, for zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Now, there is a limit for all this ridicule and reproach. God will pass judgment upon those who reproach him and his house. We discover Jesus in this psalm, and we see the way people treated him when he was ministering on earth. Now remember, Jesus cleansed the temple twice. Once at the beginning of his ministry, and the second time it was towards the end of the ministry. John chapter 2 verses 13 to 22, this was in the beginning of the ministry. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away, do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now, after the second cleansing of the temple, the Jewish leaders plotted and were determined to kill him. Matthew 21 verses 12 to 15, the second cleansing. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. In the first cleansing, he said, you made my father's house a house of merchandise. But here he says, you have made it a den of robbers. Verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. That was what the temple was supposed to be for, a place where people will be touched and healed. Verse 15, but when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. The next thing is they plot, they hand him over to the Romans to be killed. God's house was meant to be a house of prayer. But the leaders of the Jews had made it a house of merchandise, and it then became a den of robbers. Isaiah 56 verse 7. These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 11. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. So God gives ample opportunity for man. He gives man time and opportunity to repent. But when man refuses to turn from sin, God will bring judgment. So when they blaspheme God, they blaspheme David, and their attacks against David were attacks against God. Because David was God's anointed. And David felt those attacks personally. David had a great zeal for God's house, and he was the one who received the plans. Remember, he received the plans for the temple from the Lord, and he gathered the materials for its construction. And it was later on Solomon, his son, who built the temple. Now, what did David do when he was confronted by such reproach and persecution? And this is something that we must learn, because David did what every Christian should do, and we as believers in Christ should do the same. First thing we find is David waited. He waited. Psalm 69 verse 3. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. Psalm 69 verse 3. So first we find him, he's waiting. Psalm 69 verse 6. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed. David knew that the situation was in God's control. And he knew that God in his time will judge. Yes, he did cry out to God for rescue. And there's nothing wrong in doing so. But David also waited. The next thing we find is he wept. Psalm 69 verse 10. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. Now we saw how the word reproach is used again and again in Psalm 69. This is where we see that this is a messianic psalm. It prophetically speaks about the reproach that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, went through for our sake in his suffering and cruel death on the cross. Nothing is wrong with weeping. Pain hurts. And sometimes situations can break your heart. So there's no harm in weeping. David waited and David wept. And he knew that God was going to see him through. Number 3, David watched. Psalm 69 verse 6. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. O Lord God of hosts, let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. In other words, David is saying, it's not important what happens to me, but I don't want to create problems for anybody else. Throughout the psalm, David becomes more and more like the Lord Jesus. After all, he was a man after God's own heart. And this is what needs to happen to us too. When we feel as though we are drowning in the problem, when the situation is so overwhelming, then what must happen to us? Actually, that situation must make us more and more like the Lord Jesus. So if we respond rightly, then we will become like what God wants us to become. When you find yourself sinking, wait, weep, watch, and let God work. When you find yourself sinking in the quicksand, there is little else you can do but cry to the Lord. Those quicksand experiences can turn us to Him. So wait for God. Acknowledge that He is in control. Give Him the pieces of your broken heart and watch God work for you. You can depend on His faithfulness. Remember, Jesus went through it all for you. He held back nothing from us. He gave us His very life so that you and I can have life. In John chapter 10 verse 10 we read, Jesus exposing the devil. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. And how does he give us that abundant life? By shedding his blood on the cross, dying for us. He rose again from the dead. And he delivered us from the powers of darkness, from the grips of darkness, brought us into his own kingdom. The Lord God has put us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We belong to him. And we need to manifest God's kingdom in and through our lives, wherever God places us. No matter what the situation may be, the kingdom will be manifest in your life, in my life, as we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords wholeheartedly. Let's bow our heads in prayer.